muted. Okay, Barney, God bless you, brother.
All right, God bless you all. Bob, you hearing me?
Yes.
Good and clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, God bless you guys in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. They bring you greetings from Oklahoma, and we have some Texans here with us, so we won't hold that against them. But Josh and Jamie are here visiting, and it's been a blessing to have them here as well. So I miss you guys, but I'm glad that we can have this opportunity to connect via the conference call, and we look forward to being there at the tribute weekend for our brother Ken Petty. And I just say please keep that in your prayers, as well as Darlene and Sharon and others, I think, around our country who maybe have suffered the loss of a loved one. That can be a very, as you know, a difficult time. And but I'm thankful that what we're celebrating today brings hope. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I thought about this morning. I must say my heart has been full just through the weekend and over, you know, a period of time here, that there's just so many things that come into a person's heart and to a person's mind during this particular time of the year, I guess. On Thursday, I shared something from Jesus Christ, our Passover, about the 15th to the 17th of Nisan, which is the Hebrew reckoning of the calendar, which corresponds pretty close to our American calendar. And it's interesting just how tradition teaches that Jesus was crucified on Friday and arisen from the dead on Sunday morning. However, his testimony of his own crucifixion and resurrection was, you know, different than what tradition teaches. So we chronologically went through and realized that Jesus was crucified earlier in the week. And it's interesting because the timing of when the Hebrew days began and ended. So a Hebrew day would end and a new one would begin at sunset of the previous evening. Unlike, you know, a lot of times we take the things of God and we kind of translate them into our understanding of what days and nights are like, where ours would start at midnight, theirs started at sunset. And there were very significant religious holidays, Jewish holidays that were occurring during that time. So I would encourage you, if you have a copy of Jesus Christ, Our Passover, to familiarize yourself with it. If not, there are copies available that you can purchase online and this sort of thing, or borrow a copy or something. But it is one of the most fabulous works that's ever been done on the last week, really, or the last couple of weeks of the life of Jesus Christ. And to the best of their ability at that point, really put together an accurate timeline and a chronology as much as is possible, documenting from the scriptures and harmonizing the gospels of different records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this morning, we want to take a quick look at Luke chapter 24. We have neither the time nor the space to really develop this topic completely with that harmonizing of the gospels. But here for the next few minutes, I would like to read one record in the Gospels that occurred, and here it is in Luke 24. I'm reading from the King James Version. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Now, to put this in a proper context, you'd have to really go back to chapter 23 and, you know, follow up. So verse 55 of 23 says, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Again, some cultural things going on here. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I would imagine they would be somewhat perplexed. I mean, here was Jesus who had gone through this horrendous crucifixion, and, you know, these people were heartbroken. And, you know, it seemed like in the moment, maybe they weren't thinking about the promise of him being raised from the dead. Their hearts were just aching. So they were pretty perplexed. They were like, what the heck? But behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5, a common response, and as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, that be they, being the angels, or the two men, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8, here's a kind of a cool little thing. And then they remembered his words. And they remembered his words. It's like, oh yeah, you know, Jesus did say something about this particular event, and then what would follow in the days and hours to come. And verse 9 says, and returned from the sepulchre, that would be the tomb, the place where Jesus was buried, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now look at verse 11, interesting. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they what? They believed them not. They were like, ladies, you know, where did you get this story? It sounds nice, but we don't buy it. So it sounded like them to idle tales, and they didn't believe it. So verse 12 says, arose Peter, of all people, Peter. He ran unto the sepulchre, stooping down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at what was come to pass, that which was come to pass. So it would appear from the record of the scriptures that they had a short memory. They didn't remember the words of Jesus because they were so caught up in the emotional trauma of what they had seen and been a part of. And especially Peter, you know, because he had gone through the denials and he was feeling, I would say, probably a little bit guilty. Because he was very, you know, telling Jesus, I'll stand with you through thick and thin. I'll never leave your side. And then when the persecution came down, he was really being challenged about who he had been associated with. He denied Jesus Christ right there at that critical moment. So for him to now be in a place where he's running, he said he ran unto the sepulchre. I don't know how far that was. And he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, departed wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And here's verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now, this is some kind of supernatural thing that God just pulled off because Jesus was right there with them, and they didn't recognize him as Jesus. So that leads me to believe that they had known Jesus previously, and that if he had showed up on the scene, like someone knocks at the front door and, you know, you're from, hey, Todd, nice to see you. But it's like this person showed up and couldn't recognize him. verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have to one another as you walk and they're sad? In our language, it's like, hey, guys, what are you talking about? Looks like you're kind of bummed out about the type of conversation that you're talking about. And verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, classic statement, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. This is quite a day. This is quite a story. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see him. They saw him not. And he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I don't know how long that conversation took. But here's Jesus, and I think it's cool, the simplicity of him just working with two individuals on a road that are, you know, they're going through some stuff. They witnessed part of this. They're possibly returning home or on their way to go somewhere. And of all people who shows up, here's Jesus. And then he begins to expound from the scriptures. It says, in all the scriptures, things concerning himself. Well, I've never counted up how many things there were in the Old Testament. We'd be talking about Genesis through Malachi that were prophecies and actual scriptures that related to him and to his ministry. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, think about it logically. Do you think Jesus had the Bible there with him? I mean, did he have the Old Testament scriptures kind of rolled up in his back pocket? It's pretty unlikely, right? I mean, we have the advantage of having so many versions of the Bible and everything. You know, in these particular days, scripture was handwritten, and it was a pretty precious thing. So you know what? That indicates to me that he knew the word. He knew those records in the Old Testament that were prophecies and thoughts and ideas and scripture about him. And that must have been pretty startling. I mean, the one that I think about right away is Genesis 3:15, where God makes the promise of the promised seed. Must have been quite a day when Jesus recognized he was the one. He was the promised one. God told him when he went under the water, he came back up, and God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. These were personal affirmations and confirmations to Jesus of who he was, where he was going. And so there's a great lesson to be learned here that we too can go to the scriptures now, far past Jesus and his resurrection and then what happened after the resurrection, in learning about who we are, who he has made us to be. What are the benefits of the resurrection? Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. So he wasn't in such a big hurry. They said, nah, guys, I really have to go, you know, have a dinner engagement down a little bit further than where you're going. He was so locked in and so focused on this, he just said, he went into tarry with him. You know why I believe he did that? He didn't make that decision. He talked to God about it and ran that idea and that thought process by God, and God told him, yes, take the time, go with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Isn't that something? That had got to be some type of phenomenon that occurred. And, I mean, what are these two guys thinking at this point in time? I mean, first of all, they don't recognize Jesus. Then he shares all these things with them. They invite him back to their place. They're having a meal, and he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were open. They knew him at that point. Then guess what? He vanished out of their sight. I mean, this was quite a day. Quite a day, you know, and I don't see him, you know, taking some time off and going home and having a nice rest and everything. This is all in the day of the resurrection, right? Boy, this is interesting. In 32, Luke 24, 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, my gosh. Did not our heart burn within us? Didn't it cause this fire to be ignited within us while he opened to us the scriptures? Wow, what a great testimony. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they said, boys, we got one whale of a story to tell you. That's something that happened when we were traveling, however they said it, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So they go back to Jerusalem. They find the folks that are gathered together there, and they are being told by them, the Lord is risen. He appeared to Simon. That's Peter. And then they told what things were done in the way, how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So now you got two confirmations that are happening in the very quick amount of time. And now another really interesting thing happens. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said, peace be unto you. What an incredible storyline this is. This would make the greatest movie. I haven't seen the resurrection part of it yet in The Chosen, which is, I feel like, a pretty fair representation of Bible times. And, you know, Jesus is played, you know, very well, and there's a lot of authenticism to it. But anyway, this story evolves, and as they spake, in the middle of the conversation, Jesus somehow stood right there in the midst of them, and he said, peace be unto you. Verse 37, they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. You know, I think their heart rate went up. They were like, what? You know, have you ever been, you know, terrified or frightened by something that suddenly startles you? Well, here's the realization that Jesus is right there, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit, verse 37. And, of course, he's all, like, calm and peaceful and everything. He said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Hey, here I am. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said, I'm getting a little hungry, boys. Do we have something around here that we can eat? This is so startling. This is so amazing what happened in that time frame immediately following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's just so incredible. In verse 32, it said, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it, and he did eat it before him. So, you know, another proof, testimony that he's a real living person. He's not some kind of spirit that's just come back, you know, to show himself. And he took it, and he did eat it before them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, I don't know what exactly that meant, but somehow they came to a point of understanding. Like, you know, one word that's translated from the Greek to understanding is synesis. That's like rivers of water flowing together, where tributaries meet in this common river. You know, I grew up in Illinois. There were right on the Mississippi River, there were a lot of streams and other types of waters that came together and met, you know, into what they call the mighty Mississippi. But this is what happened. They had this understanding. It's like the dots connected. It was like it came together. They understood, it said, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The big picture came together for them. And in that moment he said unto them, it is written that it did behoove Christ to suffer, to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know, and it'd be interesting to go back and check out the origin of these particular scriptures in your center margin in your King James Version. Maybe you'll see some references to verses 46 and 47 and following. Because he's quoting the word. He says, thus it is written. And he said, verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Not only resurrected, but, and it's the fulfillment of the scriptures, but I'm also giving you a promise right now, which is the promise of my Father, see, that I will give. It says, until you be endued with power from on high. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And, verse 53, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And like that song said the other day, say amen. Amen. Well, obviously you can see that there's a timeline, there's a chronology, there are other events that occurred during this, which, again, one of the greatest writings that's ever been done that I know of that chronologically puts this together is that book that was done, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And it really puts all of this together in such a wonderful, wonderful format. And so what does that mean to us today? I think that becomes the greatest question. Understanding that Jesus paid a huge price, You know, Jesus paid the price. We keep the change. He did it all. We get now to change, get to have our hearts changed and transformed by all that he did and all that he accomplished. And, you know, many of us live lives that could be sometimes summarized in three short words: should have, would have, and could have. And this summarizes the lives of many people, including believers, about looking back at the choices that they made and said, I should have done this, I could have done that, or had I do it all over again, I would have done this. You know exactly what I'm talking about because we've all done it and we've all said it. And sometimes, you know what, we eulogize our own personal history at times with words just like that. Because sometimes we look back and we consider the choices, the decisions, and the things we've done, and either think that they did have some value and worked out pretty good, or we think that they were a total flop. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it differently. And you know what? The devil is very, very quick to accuse us of failure, stupidity, and inadequacy. And although some choices we made probably were not all that were the best, not all of them, but it does not now define us as a person. You know, failure is not the name of a person. Failure is an event that everybody goes through, and it happens. But we have to be able to get back up. We have to get our vision back up. And if anything Jesus did, he gave these guys vision. The resurrection provided hope. Hope is something that is future. It's still being attained as we move forward. We have to keep moving forward. You know, inadequacy, failure, insufficiency, it does not give anyone much of a future or for a hope. See, should we just throw in the towel, give up, quit, become apathetic, and just say, it doesn't really matter anyway? You know, that's playing right into the devil's hands. That's exactly what he would love to see people do. It's just for them to experience failure, inadequacy, and things like that to the point that they just say, what's the use? And never move forward. And that's not really God's plan for us. You know, it's not that you won't get knocked down in life. It's a matter of how quickly do you get back up? How can you recover and get back to coming, achieving victory in a practical situation? You take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. But I wanted to read that record in Luke 24 just to show us and remind us how supernatural God is. I mean, there were a number of supernatural things that happened, and how miraculous those things happened. Now, did these guys see it? Well, you know what? No, they didn't see it. But it says Jesus opened their understanding. Their hearts burned within them. See, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 45 of that chapter says, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Spiritual understanding. Man, what a great thing to be able to have. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about that God might open their hearts that they would have a greater understanding. About what? Church life? Tradition? Signing up for the choir? Volunteering for something? No, that God would open their understanding so that they would know more about him. Him. That's ultimately where we're all headed, is developing that relationship with God. Service is secondary to that. It's important too, because I think the more we get to understand God and the work of Jesus Christ, the more we're inclined to serve, because we get greater understanding of what love really is. So anyway, we're back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk, what? In newness of life. Well, there's that word again. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know what? The should is right now. But we can walk in newness of life. You know what? I've told this to myself. I've told this to many people. Forget the past. Forget the past. Because the devil just tries to keep us caught in that web of the mistakes that we have made, saying, you can't change. You can't be different. But that's not true. That's not true. The resurrection proves that. Biblically, spiritually, and every other way. That's where the devil got defeated, man, was at the resurrection. Jesus Christ overcame the greatest giant there ever was. It was called death. And when he had Jesus crucified, he thought he won the game. He thought he pulled one over. But you know what? God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Say amen. God is good. It's the greatest, one of the greatest victories, if not the greatest victory that's been achieved in the history of mankind. A dead man, dead, legally dead, 3 days, three nights, three 24-hour periods. You know what normally happens to a body in 3 days and three nights? Well, you know, Jesus showed up with Lazarus, and one of the comments that somebody said, Lord, he stinketh. So, you know, there's a decay process. There's things that happen. But in 3 days and three nights, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So now it says, hey, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised up, that's the standard of our newness of life. We can walk. We can have resurrection glory. Our past is not only just behind us. It's been completely obliterated. It's been blown to smithereens. We simply have been made new creation in Christ. But the thing is, have we had our understanding open to that? Do we still see things sort of cloudy, see? Have we fully awakened to who we are in Christ? Now, Ken Petty spent his entire life in ministry teaching the greatness of who we are in Christ. Our identification, what we've received. And a great man that went before him said, what power the church had, if they only knew it. The devil has been so successful in talking believers out of their identity. Their identity, see? But we got to draw a line in the sand and just at some point in time say no, no, and confess what the Word says. You know, newness of life is fresh. It's unused. It's never been seen. You have that new life smell. You're not stale, and you don't smell like the grave. You know, at times we've all felt like we were still lying in the grave. Asleep. And though Jesus Christ had been victorious over death and sin, we sometimes have not fully appreciated or understood or taken to ourselves all he has done for us. We live in the past in the bondage of the grave and of the grave clothes. How well spoken is that? But guess what, guys? We are free from sin and death. We are free from sin and death. I don't know how adamantly I could say it. We are free from sin and death, and we have to awaken. We have to awaken, too. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Boy, what a life we've been called to. No shoulda, woulda, coulda. It's now we have to awaken to what we already have in Christ. These are the benefits. These are the perks of what happened thousands of years ago, but we still have the availability to believe and to appropriate in today's world, in today's life. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." You know what that's saying? Wake up! Wake up! We're commanded here to wake up. We're commanded to arise and run into the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to give us light. You know, this word arise in Ephesians 5:14 is the same word used in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John healed the lame man at the temple gate Beautiful. Peter commanded him to rise up and walk. And you know what? He had a choice to believe what Peter spoke or stand his bed and remain lame. And to be lame, sort of in an analogous way, is to abide in the grave clothes. But you know what? We've been loosed and have been set free. Our calling is to life and peace and joy. The best way to help us understand this new life in Christ is an analogy that will help us picture the spiritual reality in our physical lives. You know, God has placed you in his own version of a witness protection program. It's called With Christ. With Christ. We're all familiar with what witness protection is, right? You don't have to turn there, but Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Your old life is gone because you died with Christ, but then you were quickened. You were made alive. You resurrected with Christ. You were given amnesty for your participation in any crimes or sins. You have been relocated to a new place. It's called seated in the heavenlies. You have been given help in procuring a new job. You're our witness for Jesus Christ and have to be about your Father's business. You've been given a new lifestyle and one that's anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And your old self, your old identity is dead and gone. And you have a new identity in life. Do you know what? Partay. It's time to start living it up. Recognize who we are, what's been given to us, what we've been freed from, and allow ourselves to enjoy the perks and benefits of it. And finally, how many of us define ourselves by our formal actions? I'm a cheat, I'm a liar, I'm an addict, I'm a sinner, and an enemy of God. But we must come to understand that we are forgiven in our past, even minutes ago. Maybe you were thinking about something else during this teaching. It's not just covered, but it's cleansed, it's washed away. We are now redefined by the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The new definition of our lives is we are as he is. That's the truth. We are as he is. Jesus Christ defines us. He is our new identity. You know what? That's a new life. We weren't just assigned a new name and given up a made-up ID card. We're new creations, new creations. And to create biblically means to make something new that never really existed before out of nothing. Who you are is really new. It's new. And that's actually kind of an understatement. Your grave clothes have been incinerated and the ashes are pulverized. They are gone, and all of your old man with them. We have been transformed. We are free. You know, I don't know what Jesus said on the road to Emmaus with these guys, but it was something that transformed their lives. It was something that caused their heart to burn within them while he expounded the scriptures, all those things concerning himself. And then, you know what? He went to the disciples and shared these things. And it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That word's used twice in one small verse. He opened their understanding and that they might understand the scriptures. I'll just tell you this kind of in a closing statement. The devil doesn't want you to recognize who you are and the power that you've been given spiritually. He works overtime, and sometimes it's a pretty easy job for him, but he works overtime to keep people down, keep them oppressed, depressed, full of giants and issues and a zillion other things, when in reality, the answer and the world solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only man that ever was raised from the dead. And he takes a place in this world like no other human being has ever taken a place. It has changed the course of history. It has changed the course of so many things, and many of them we aren't even aware of completely. But how does that translate to me, my life, my thinking? Well, you know what? Maybe we need God to open our understanding. See, what does the resurrection mean to me? What does this new life mean to me? What does it mean to have the old man crucified? What have I truly been given through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ? And not just to celebrate it during Easter, see, but to celebrate it every day, to understand it, to make it a life's mission, to realize who I am and what I've been given. And that is just such a huge demonstration of the love of God, that we can now be Christ in this world. So we covered a lot of territory here, but I think you can see in my heart, it's burning within my heart to just help all of us understand to a greater level who we are, what we've got, and what Jesus went through. But yeah, he went through it. But you know what? After it was all said and done, some really great things were happening, right? And he's passing that on. That same strength, that same energy, that same life is being imparted to each and every person who is born again and then filled with the power of the Spirit. It makes us Christ-like in this world. Amen? So God is good. In all ways, he's good always, and we have so much to be thankful for. So it's not should have, would have, could have. It's the reality of now. Now we awake. Now we arise, and we take one day, one moment, one second at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of being able to share these scriptures, Father, and sometimes I feel so inadequate to do that, but here we are with the opportunity just to open your word. And Father, thank you for each and every person who has the opportunity to hear this, that our lives can all be changed, can be transformed as we grow in our understanding and application of dead, buried, crucified, risen with Christ, and our lives are quickened, Father. So help us to get greater spiritual understanding of what he's accomplished on our behalf, how much love you truly have had in calling us forward, and that we capture a greater vision of what we can do to help and to serve and to be about things that you would have us to do. And so we pray about these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, all right.